So if we could just put the first verse up. Thank you. You see, there are great truths in this, very succinctly presented. We are all astray. We are all astray, wandering like sheep. Isaiah tells us we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. You see, humanity has a tendency to wander from God's path, individually and collectively. We sin. We do things that aren't right, and we don't do things, good things that we know we should do. And Jesus bore the punishment for that, to make it possible for a holy God to have relationship with sinful people. There is good news. We're all gone astray, but there is good news. Could you just put a chorus up, folks? Thank you. A Saviour has come. This is life-changing good news, inducing comfort and joy. And again, that word comfort had a slightly different meaning in the olden days. It didn't mean cozy. It meant reassurance. It meant security. Tidings of comfort and joy. Tidings of reassurance and security. All within one verse and one chorus. Beautifully put. Could I have verse 2 up, please? Thank you. From God our Heavenly Father, a blessed agent came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same. I don't know about you, if you've been around church for a few years, you've probably heard people talking about the significance of the message coming to the shepherds. And that they were, you know, lowly and despised, and yet God spoke to them. Actually, current thinking is that actually is a later attitude towards shepherds that has been imposed on first century. Because in a sacrificial religious society, which it was in the Jewish religion, good shepherds providing good sheep would have been quite respected. They needed them. They needed them to be good shepherds, to provide good sheep for their sacrifices. And God himself describes himself as a shepherd. In the book of Ezekiel, we read, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they're scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak." See, God describes himself as a shepherd, a good shepherd. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." I tried to think of a profession that I could maybe compare it with. in modern day, and it's quite hard actually. But the one thing I thought of was like a builder, you know, because you get a good builder, proud of his work, does it well, on time, possibly, within budget, possibly, but you get a good construction worker, you know. Now, some of them have got reputations of being a bit of a cowboys and not doing things right, but a good construction worker. There was a friend of my son's, was a joiner, and when he fitted a new door for us after we got carpet laid, he took the door down and took a slice off the bottom. And when he had finished, all the screw heads were facing the same direction in the hinges. That's how careful and precise he was about his work. Now, builders and construction workers don't always have a good reputation. However, you get a good one. You get a good one. And the shepherds really were the same. I suppose there were bad ones. There were hired men who didn't try very hard. But you get a good one. And God himself describes himself as a good shepherd. So really, the shepherds were probably not that despised. But as my commentary says, the significance of the shepherds is not that they were particularly poor or marginalized, but that they were ordinary rather than elite. What matters is not whether we are rich or poor or intelligent or average, or it's that we are human. And that in itself is poverty enough in comparison with the riches and grace of Jesus Christ. But you know what? God sent his messenger to ordinary folk. Ordinary people like me, like us. When we are willing, when we are open, when we listen, God speaks to ordinary people like us. God delights to have a relationship with you. Going back to that Ezekiel, I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. I will look after my sheep. God wants a relationship with ordinary people, and he will speak with them. So could we just have the last verse up, please? So in this verse, the carol encourages us to give thanks and praise for the amazing thing that God has done. For Jesus' sacrifice, his death, his resurrection, that allows us to have a relationship with God and the riches that that can bring to our lives. Comfort and joy at the same time. It also mentions with true love and charity. Charity in this case means brotherly love, by the way. Well, let's say, I'm trying to think of a non-gendered. What's the modern way of saying brotherly love? Friendship? Well, if you're not a brother. but anyway, friendship and encouragement, that's what the charity means in this verse. So with true love and charity, each other now embrace. So it encourages us to give thanks and to praise God for the amazing thing that he's done, and to show we mean it by how we treat others. And this is sometimes where we hit a bit of a bump. Because no matter how much we accept and we relish what God has done for us, do we pay it forward? Do we pay it forward in our understanding of the flaws and follies of others? We express some understanding of how much grace a holy God has extended to us. In Corinthians we read, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And Jesus said, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And we know that that's exactly what he did.